It's time for the final hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick on the east side, Darren McFarlane a little south of town, down the road in Smyrna. Chase McCabe over on the west side, doing our shows from our respective homes as we continue on. And we are showcasing the first day of voting in the Nashville sports bracket. We're trying to crown the best Nashville athlete of the last 30 years. So we're going back to 1990. And so one of the four brackets is open today, and we've been updating you throughout the day, and we will do that again before the show is over. But one of them is the famed 8 seed versus 9 seed, always a tough matchup. Thomas Fokoun of the Predators, Taylor Lewan, the fine left tackle for the Tennessee Titans, and the voting is hardcore. But it gives us a chance to catch up with some of these great athletes, and so we have called upon Thomas Fokoun to come on the show, not necessarily to lobby for himself, but I'm sure if he has the floor, if he would like to do that. But either way, it's always great to talk to Mr. Fokoun. Thomas, thanks for joining us.
How you doing, guys? Glad to be here.
We are hanging in there, just like everybody else, I'm sure yourself included. But Thomas, you'll be, first of all, very glad to know that Chris Mason has been lobbying on your behalf on Twitter to get people to vote for you in this very prestigious matchup.
He's a good friend, I got to say.
So how have you been doing? I know everybody has been having to cope with all of this, and everybody safe where, in your neck of the woods?
Yes. I mean, silver lining all of this is actually, you know, being able to be with my daughters, my older daughters in college, and she came home, so we're home as a family, but obviously, you know, trying to do my part and follow, you know, kind of follow the guidelines what they give us and trying to, you know, protect myself, protect other people, and stay home and do whatever, you know, the authorities tell us to do. And that way trying to, you know, hopefully we can overcome this this really bad issue we have and, you know, as soon as possible. So.
Well, you just illustrated it. A lot of people who are dads that have children in college have had their kids come home, and so you said it. There's a lot of family bonding time available. Some people kind of have fun with it and say, "Hey, I like spending time with my family," but man, it's tough to have everybody in the same quarters for 24 hours a day. So are you guys getting out? How are you staying active and taking advantage of the time?
You know, obviously, us being in Florida, you know, the weather permits, so we can go outside and kind of exercise and all that. But we haven't had the problems yet, you know. Sorry, I'm kind of losing my voice. I don't know what's going on. But, no, it's been, you know, we've been playing games at night, watching TV together, so it's been fun. I gotta say, you know, I don't know. My daughter's 20, so I don't know if I'm gonna have a same amount of time be able to spend with her like that. So, like I said, if there's something, you know, good out of the bad situation, that would be it. You know, to be able to be with her and be together as a family and all that. And you know, obviously, I've been talking to a lot of friends and people over the phone and stuff like that. So. You know, we're all together in this thing, and you know, I know it's very tragic what's going on in Europe, and you know, I go a lot to Northern Italy skiing and in the summer mountain biking, and it's, you know, it's terrible what's going on over there too. So you know, I'm just, you know, hoping for this. Hopefully we're able to, you know, find a cure and the virus disappears or something. I mean, I'm praying for anything, you know. It is a real tragedy. So
no question. It really is a time for all of us to get a perspective on what's happening throughout the world. You mentioned your friends in Northern Italy. I hear particular countries being mentioned and updates and things like that. I'm curious, your home country, the Czech Republic. Well, I haven't heard too much specifically about them. What's it like over there?
They're on lockdown. I mean, they closed the borders. I mean, we're right in the middle of the Europe, so we're basically, you know, all the trucking lines and all that goes through us. So, but other than trucks, I think we're close to all the most of the, you know, the countries in European Union kind of close their borders, and same as here, everybody's, you know, everybody's to ask to be home and social distancing and all that. So I think the Europe is kind of like, especially Czech and Italy, Germany, Austria. There's a lot of migration, obviously, because of the European Union. And there was spring break in Europe. So a lot of people went skiing in Italy and Austria into the Alps. And that's how the whole thing spread. So, they've been going through it for some time. And they're in a way maybe, you know, 2-3 weeks ahead of us in the progression of the virus and how many people are getting infected and all that. So, but it's very similar to what's going on here. I mean, you know, especially Italy is probably somewhere along the lines. The northern Italy part is along the lines of New York, and Czech is. I mean, there's like, you know, I don't know how much they're testing and all that, but there's like 3,500 cases and all that. But even that, there's, you know, it's a small country of like 9 million people. So, I'm sure there's a lot more. You know, Prague is a huge tourist destination. It's literally empty, just like any other London or any Milano or any of these cities, New York City. So, you know, nobody, I think, could expect this, but, you know, we just have to try and, like they say, you know, bend the curve and kind of do our part individually to because last thing, I mean, I was very disappointed in people when I see here in spring breaks, people partying on the beach and all that. And, you know, especially young people, I know maybe it's not mm-hmm. as dangerous for them, but it's like, you know, every one of us has either parents or grandparents, or, you know, people who are older or have some kind of medical issue, and we should be all responsible. This is not time, you know, to take that thing or those things lightly. So
we're talking to Thomas Vokoun, former goaltender, of course, for the Nashville Predators. And he now lives down in South Florida. As many of you remember, he spent many years with the Florida Panthers during his career as well. Had some great years there. So, Thomas, we've all tried to be creative to get through this process, and that's one of the reasons we bracket this field of 64 best athletes in Nashville over the last 30 years. I'm curious, in your household, I mean, we're all nominating TV shows and shows online like Netflix that we're watching. So in your household, what are some of the most popular shows that you guys are watching?
Well, I just finished two shows, and I watched Tiger King. I mean, it's very popular.
Of course, right? Everybody, who hasn't watched Tiger King?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's the thing now. So I couldn't resist. I watched that, and I've been watching in the past. I've been watching Ozark, and the new season came on Friday. So I was able to finish the third season in 2 days. So
wow. Okay, that's the next one. That's the next one I'm going to watch, because I've seen the first two season, so that is on my list to do. So you give it a thumbs up. Season 3 does not disappoint.
Absolutely. No, it doesn't. It's awesome. Definitely worth watching.
We're talking to Thomas Vokoun, longtime Nashville Predators goaltender, and, you know, obviously things are bigger than hockey right now. There's a hope to resume the season at some point, but, you know, who knows what exactly is going to happen. But As a former player that went through, you know, situations with whether it was a lockout or, you know, something like that, even all-star breaks or Olympic breaks or what have you, but how do you try and stay active and stay in shape in case the season were to resume for these guys?
Well, for them it's tougher, no question about it. I mean, all the gyms are closed. Obviously, these guys have the resources to, you know, to buy the equipment for them at home, and that's probably what I would do if I needed to. But, it's obviously different in the middle of the season when something like this happened. And, you know, it's not just the physical aspect of it. It's the mental aspect. Everybody has family. Everybody's worried. Obviously hockey is an international sport. There's people from all over the world playing in NHL and all that. So they, you know, I don't know if people, when back to their respective country, or they stay, or what, you know, that's, I'm sure that's, every, you know, every individual player made a decision based on what he wants to do. But, you know, you can still do workouts. And, I mean, there's, you know, with your own body, you know, you can do lots of things, and you have to. I mean, I don't need to come back and play, and I still trying to be active and all that. You don't want to be sitting, you know, we've been for 15 days. This is our 16th day. We've been under those quarantine, and, you know, it's not easy to sit at home and watch TV and eat all day and all that. So I think it's important for people to get out if it's possible for them, and go for walks or runs, and, you know, especially for the athlete, because they do have to keep themselves in a shape in case, you know, we all wishing hopefully something, I don't know what, but like if something happened and we're able to resume the season, would be, you know, they got to come back and play right away. So, but it's, you know, the good part is about that, it's the same for everyone. So, you know, all the players go through it, and it's not like one team has an advantage over the other. It's the same. You know, I feel bad for the, well, think about the Olympic athletes. You know, they've been working, you know, to their goal for, you know, maybe once in a lifetime chance to be in Olympics, and training for 3 years, 3.5 years, and now the Olympics been moved. So it's not convenient for anyone, but at the end of the day, you know, there's people dying, and there's a lot bigger issues than sports, and that's kind of how we have to look at it. And whatever you needed to do as an individual and to be prepared for your job, then, you know, you just got to find a way to do it. So,
Thomas, as we look at the Predators this season, we've seen obviously more of a split with the goaltenders in Pekka-Rinne, who you obviously know, and Juuse Saros. And I'm curious of your thoughts of when you look back in the early days of the Preds, whether it was you and Mike Dunham or you and Chris Mason, of just how important it is to not only, you know, play your game, but also know that you have that guy next to you, like Saros and Rinne are to each other. How important it is to have that teammate?
It's always important. I mean, hockey, you know, and it's been the trend. You look at the trend over the last 10 years, you know, it's less and less being that, like, one, you know, goalie who's like an unquestionable superstar and he plays all the game. I mean, more teams going with tandems and trying to have a both goalies who are being good, you know, reliable players they can put in any time. And, you know, obviously with the speed of the game, injuries, all that, you need depth on the position, not just from respective of NHL. You need good goalies in a system, in the minors and all that. So I look at the teams around the league, and, you know, all the good teams. So you look at Boston, who's the number one team in the league. They probably play play, let's say, 60 to 40 in between Rask and Halak, and, you know, both goalies performing, and they're both rested. They both, you know, are ready to play the games. They haven't have any significant injuries. And to me, nowadays, that's the way to go. And I think Nashville has that opportunity with Pekka, you know, obviously having all the experience. And, yes, he's, you know, like the season, it's always funny. Unfortunately, you know, with this what happened, you know, you can have a Vezina caliber season, and then, you know, it doesn't go well in the playoffs or something, and it's not a good season, and could be the total other round, and that could go, you know, they've been playing Saros more. He's obviously goalie who they're looking in the future, and he's been, you know, the backup for a while, and he's been kind of slowly pushing for that more playing time. So, you know, Nashville is a, to me, I mean, it's a little disappointing where they are in the standings. I look at how the team is built, and I think it's one of the best teams in the league. I mean, it hasn't translated totally on the win and losing column right now, but that doesn't mean, you know, all you need to do, especially for a team like Nashville, you need to get in the playoffs, and after that, it's a brand new season, and if there is a playoff, you know, they're as dangerous a team as in any team in the NHL, at least from my point of view, what I, you know, see their depth and quality of their, you know, especially the defense and all that. They're a very good team.
Well, Thomas, it's been great to hear your voice. Great to catch up with you. Always great to do that. I know a lot of people who you made an impact on here We'll appreciate hearing from you, and including one that just sent me a text right now. You know Greg Harvey very well, you know, the old traveling secretary, the director. So he said to make sure to pass along that he says hello.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, say hi to him back. Absolutely. We had some good times with Harvey.
Right, sounds good. Well, Thomas, we'll check in with you down the road. Stay safe down there, and we'll keep in touch. Great to talk to you once again.
Okay, guys. Same to you, and stay safe, everybody.
All right. Thomas Vokoun, former Predators goalie. When we come back, we will reset things. We'll tell you where the vote is on the first day. We'll let you know if there's been a surge, thanks to campaign manager Chris Mason. And maybe Greg Harvey will join in the campaign manager as well to try to match the voting machine that Taylor Lewan has put together. We'll tell you about it because both of these guys, the voting turnout for this particular matchup, the 8 versus 9, has been quite outstanding. Yes. All right. So we'll tell you about it in a moment as we continue with Darren Donick and Chase here on 102.5 The Game.
Becker on Darren Donick and Chase. Good stuff from Thomas Vokoun. Man, we've had a great show. R.A. Dickey in the first hour. Talked a little NFL draft with Emory Hunt. Keith Bullock to kick off the third hour, and you just heard Thomas Vokoun for the fourth and final hour. We've had some breaking news on the show. CMA Fest has been canceled for 2020, the first week of June in our fine city. And there's another piece of breaking news, but I'm going to need to make sure that it is indeed true news, if it's real or fake, from one Willie Donick. But first, let me pass along the breaking news. At Donick Aaron on Twitter, it looks like there's a new person on Twitter named Aaron Donick. Is this the Aaron Donick, or is this a fake account? Is this a real account or fake account?
You're
I've
saying
seen
is
this
it a
in
bot?
The last 15 minutes.
No, she is on Twitter. She is not. She does other social media much more than Twitter, but she has always been a more of a silent observer of Twitter at times. She picks her spots.
So this isn't new.
Go on there.
Oh, wait a minute.
She
so this
wanted,
is not new. I just
she
clicked
wanted,
on
No, this is not new, but she wanted to participate in the vote. She thinks this is a big contest. She wanted to have her voice heard.
Okay, so she just started following the game. That's what picked up on. So she's been on for a while, and she just now started following the game? She's
well, like I said, she's not, yeah. She's not, yeah. She's not big into Twitter, but this is
Well, I'm going
to
give her a
expanding.
Follow.
She's probably listened to more of the show than normal these times because she has no choice. Either she has it on her computer in the other room or she hears me yelling across, but she wants to hear the other end of the conversation, so she pulls you guys up.
Willie, well, you don't even follow her.
Well, when Chris Mason
she doesn't
opened
tweet,
up his Twitter
she doesn't tweet.
Account. Right, because when Chris Mason first started his Twitter account, we've done this before on the show. We push people to start following him, so we kind of like got him going. You know, got people going, hey, you need to follow him. And so we've done that for other people. So should we push people? So this would force Aaron to be more active if we start. She started picking up followers.
She just would followed you, me back. So we have.
Do you think we should do that?
I'll ask her if she wants to become more active on Twitter because, you know, you have to
well,
kind of
get into
it.
I'm not really into asking. I'm just talking about should we force her to, because if we guilt her into it, you know what I mean? This could lead her to guilting her into doing more on Twitter start sending people her way.
But she tweeted 29 minutes ago, I'm going to learn Twitter during this insane time in human history. So
she's
it sounds
only tweeted
like,
once.
Right, but it sounds like...
Well, that was the first tweet. Okay.
Yeah, that was 30 minutes ago. So it sounds like she wants to, so I think we should help the process.
All right, I just hit follow.
Okay.
I just
okay.
Said follow.
Well, I guess I should. I guess I need to follow for
you
sure.
Probably
you probably
follow
should.
Your wife. Yeah. So we should do that at Donick Aaron. So we should guilt her into being more active on Twitter. People start following her at Donick Aaron.
Very good.
Okay. Willie, did you hit
Done
follow?
Deal. I'm pulling it up right now.
She just followed me back, Chase, just to go along with
your
theme.
Did she follow me?
Well, she just followed me back, so that's what Chase said. I hit follow. She's following me back. So, Willie, it's your turn. Elijah, you need to jump on in there. We will get Erin on Twitter. We will get her more active.
She does follow you.
On Twitter. She does follow you?
Okay. Yeah, she's followed Willie, Nash, the president, Chris Mason, Brandon Walker, the game, the Preds, Lindsay
okay.
Rowley.
She's building a good foundation here.
Yes,
okay.
Justin Bradford.
So now she has a delay. Hear. She's now hearing this conversation from across the way.
You know what? We've been doing the shows on location from our houses for the last 2.5 weeks. I am surprised one Erin Donick has not made an appearance yet.
Well, it doesn't mean we can't do that.
I think we have to.
Do you want to book her as a guest for a
let's
show?
Do that.
But here's the criteria, though. You have to probably sit out. We're gonna ask you to sit out, and we're going to interview Erin.
Well, we do only have one microphone in this
true.
Home
right.
studio
that
in the Donick House, so yeah, that makes it easy.
Okay.
You're saying Willie has to sit out?
Yeah, Willie has to sit out. We're going to interview Erin.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally down for that.
That's how that's going
to
work.
Well, we have to promote it. We have to set the time and then promote it, because I'm sure this will be an interview you don't want to miss.
Yeah. This will be great.
We will do that this week. That is going to happen. So tell her to clear her schedule for a second.
Okay.
Find some time.
So, okay, that was one piece of news. By the way, I've also seen where Shea Weber, I haven't had a chance to listen to it, he's done a video conference, and he thanked the Canadiens fans for their support and is also thinking about the people in Nashville during this trying time. So I want to go listen to that audio. So do we have a little bit, Elijah, of what took place today? So this is really the first time, Willie, because we've talked about this and Chase, that nobody's talked on the NHL side of things. Gary Bettman, but no players, no coaches. And so now, is today the first time we're starting to hear from players? Is this what's going on?
There might have been one of these types of formats late last week. I feel like Alex Ovechkin did one with a couple of other players. Chase, I don't know if you saw it or not, but it might have been Friday.
Well, I referenced it on the show.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that was an official NHL deal? Or was that just some guys going back and forth on Twitter?
Oh, it might have been. I don't know if it was
because I read
format.
Those tweets. I don't think that was an official, like the NHL put it together, and because I don't remember there being news out of it. I think it was just them kind of chatting it up. That's kind of what I remember. But anyway.
Well, I'm glad they're doing some official things just to, you know, just to have the voice to hear what these players have to say. I think that's good.
So it sounds like today, what was this, about an hour and a half ago, that the captain, Roman Josi, Alex Pietrangelo of the Blues, and Jonathan Toews of the Blackhawks conducted a conference call, and here's some things that they talked about.
So you guys are all at the stage of your career where you know how to work out, you know how to ramp up for things, and I'm just wondering about, A, not having team facilities to use, and B, not knowing when you're going to start again and how much that complicates what you're doing physically. Alex, do you have any time to do anything physically? And if you do, how are you dealing with it?
I got a gym at home, so it's not too bad for me. But they take a 2.5-hour nap in the afternoon, so that's when I get the opportunity to do it. But I think the hardest part for me is the unknown of when we're actually going to start. So you're trying to train as if you're going to play, but I mean, nobody really knows what's going to happen. So you're not trying to overdo it, but you're trying to take a break. And I think the other two guys, I mean, you guys will agree, it's more just a timeline we need just so we can kind of figure out what's going to happen here, whether it's play or not, just at least have some sort of guidance.
Yeah, jump in, guys.
Yeah, I mean, same for me. I'm kind of I feel like you're kind of in summer mode. Just trying to do some workouts at home. Actually, I didn't have a gym, so I bought a bunch of stuff and kind of built a little gym in my garage. But yeah, it's like Pietro said, it's the timeline. You kind of in summer mode, and you just try and stay in shape. But yeah, hopefully we got a timeline soon so you can trust your workouts a little bit.
John?
Yeah, I think it is hard to tell. I know that first 3, 4, 5 days after we basically woke up in the morning, Friday morning, we played Thursday night. I forget who we even played at home, but they said we'll come to the rink, and it just kind of, the season just turned on a dime just like that. So since then, it's kind of didn't have that motivation to do much the first 4 or 5 days. And then since then, we're kind of getting back and riding the bike and thinking, hey, like at some point, this has to wrap up. We got to go back to our normal lives, and just not sure when that is. So hopefully sooner rather than later.
All right. Let's go to a couple questions that were sent in by media members. We'll go to each one of you individually. Alex, Sean Leahy from NBC Sports wants to know, have you spoken to Jay Bouwmeester lately, and how's he doing?
Yeah, Bo's good. He's still here. His plan was to be here no matter what. I think once he got some clearance from the doctors, his kids are in school here too. So I think once he wraps all that up, maybe he'll try and get home if the doctors feel comfortable. But, I mean, we all kind of live in the same area here, so guys are stopping by and seeing how he's doing, and he's out and about walking. We see him. He was at the rink pretty much every day that we were home when we were playing. So that was kind of a breath of fresh air for us, knowing that he's out and about and hanging out with the guys. I'm sure he needed a break to get out of the house too. He's got 3 kids, so probably drops him off at school and needs a change of pace. But he's good. Probably a bit of a lifestyle change for him. But other than that, he's hanging in there.
Hey, Roman from Adam Bingen at the Tennessean. Can you just talk about what Nashville has been like in the last couple of months? Tornadoes, this. I mean, it's been a tough time for you up at home.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, start with the tornadoes and obviously now with the coronavirus. But it's been a tough month for our city. But I think if you take one thing out of it, you saw when the tornado happened, how this community came together and how everyone was helping each other. It was pretty cool to see, and it shows how tied up a community the city is. And same with the virus right now. I mean, everybody's trying to stick together. We're all in this together, so it's pretty awesome to see how this city has come together in the last couple months.
Jonathan, tell us about the Today Show birthday call for Declan. How'd that come about, and did you hear back at all?
Yeah. I guess at some point we'll see our little buddy Declan there, and I think the sign that he held up, I think on one of our post game shows was said something like "I'll never give up" or something like that. So it's great to see that we got some little fans out there sticking with us thick and thin. And so I'm set to send them a little message there, since they're going to highlight that whole thing on the Today Show. And thought I heard all the different pronunciations of my name, but that was Taven or something. That was a new one, so it's pretty good. Pretty funny.
I wasn't going to bring that up. Well, Alex has heard a few pronunciations of his last
name. Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen it butchered so many different ways. I mean, I usually get the idea, but I'll tell you what, I don't know what some people are thinking when they look at my name, but I guess I understand.
Yeah, as an Italian, I feel your pain, Alex. Roman, you probably heard a few good ones too about your last name when you first started.
People kept asking me actually how to pronounce my last name, and I wasn't even sure how to pronounce it in English. I know how to say it in German, but I've heard Yossi. There's a bunch of different ones, but I think people are kind of sticking to Yossi now.
So speaking of wacky things pertaining to you, did you see the Chris Mason video?
I did, yeah.
What did you think?
It's pretty funny. He's come out with a bunch of videos since then. I mean, he did that one of him working out too. I don't know if you know Mace, he's such a funny guy. He travels with us, and I actually played with him for a year, and he's an awesome guy, really funny guy, and he definitely shows his personality on social media right now. He's probably one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
One of the best teammates you could play with. Like I said, he still travels with us. He's such a funny guy and such a nice person.
All right. Here's another one. We'll start with Jonathan, but then we can go around. So Mark Lazarus wanted to know, you survived 5 years of rooming with Patrick Kane. So which teammate would you most want to be quarantined with, and which teammate would you least want to be quarantined with, and why?
I guess as for the most, I'd probably say Corey Crawford. He's just kind of an easygoing guy, and, you know, whatever you want to do, he's down for whatever. And I'd say least, since I roomed with him for so long, I'd have to say Kaner. There was some ups and downs through that relationship there.
You stopped talking, so I guess you don't want to be more specific.
Yeah, look at that.
Alex.
Let me think about this one. Most probably Pareko, because he's that guy on your team that's too nice and he wants to do everything for everybody. So he'd probably bring me bed and breakfast and do all the chores. I wouldn't have to do a single thing. And then, I gotta answer this one carefully. I want to go with I hope David Braun's watching, because he's the loudest guy I've ever met in my entire life. So sometimes you just need a break from him.
All right, Roman, your turn.
I'm gonna go with Bonino to quarantine with. He's a good chef, first of all. He likes to cook, so he will cook some good meals. He's a pretty smart guy, he reads a lot of books, so make me read a little more too. And he's good at ping pong too, so he could have some good ping pong battles. And then least, I'd probably go with Johansson. I feel like would be a bad team at home. Just if our house would get pretty messy. I don't know if he's a good cook either. He makes some great Brussels sprouts, I know that, but other than that, I don't think we'd be a great team at home.
All right, same theme. You're all captains. How are you keeping your group together? Are there group chats? A couple of other calls. Guys said some of the group chats get a little weird and they almost had to cut them off, but how are these going? Go ahead, Jonathan, start it off.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really mention too much what's going on in the group chat, but there's some pretty popular memes that you guys have probably seen, and those are definitely going around. So a couple laughs, guys trying to entertain themselves. So
same here, man. I had I can't really say it, but there was the one meme. My kids love playing with my phone, so my kids are scrolling through the team chat. I'm like, oh no, not a good time to scroll through that. I'm gonna put the child lock or delete on this one, but that thing keeps me busy. Let me tell you, that thing's going off like 50 times a day.
Yeah, same here. I mean, it's fun. We got a Snapchat too. We got a Snapchat group, so there's a lot of videos, a lot of pictures, and a ton of pictures and videos of kids doing fun stuff. So it's always fun to watch.
All right, let's try this one. Other two guys on the call, what is the thing that you miss the least about playing against them? You guys all battle against each other. In the slot, front of the net, Alex, what do you miss the least about playing against Taves and Yossi?
Well, Yossi seems like always score against us, so take that one away. And Johnny's just a pain in the ass to play against. Pardon me. I've battled a lot with these two guys, more so Johnny because he's a forward, but we've had a lot of battles to pain. But you know what? You've got to welcome those battles. I think right now we miss those battles. I don't know about you guys, but we could probably use a few of those battles against each other.
Yeah, John, go ahead, jump in.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, the same thing. I'm up against these two guys most of the time, and they're not just great D-men in their own end, but they'll make you have to worry about them in your own end as well. So, you know, I just remember being on the same team as Petro in Toronto for the World Cup and having to stand in front of the net one time, and he's letting one rip, and I thought it was aimed right at my chin, but somehow whistled it right by my shoulder, top shelf. So it's kind of nice to be on that side of things for once. But yeah, there's like Alex said, there's some great battles in the corners and all over the ice. But I think we've had some great playoff series against each other over the years too, where you know, there's been some hatred and. But I mean, that's what the game's all about. So at this point, you know, the fans are missing it. We're missing it, and obviously we want life to go back to what we're used to.
Roman?
Yeah, like Pietro said, obviously I see a lot more of Johnny as a forward, but yeah, I mean, just chasing him around in our zone for I don't know how long, and can't take the puck away from him, trying to cross check him, and yeah, just him around in net. It's not fun as a defenseman. You can't really get the puck off him. So, like you said, we had some really good battles against Chicago, some really good playoff series. Yeah, we all miss it. And Pietro, obviously, St. Louis, it's always a grind. Hard games are always it's a huge grind. I mean, he's just such a presence on the ice. I think, I mean, I kind of like to skate the puck up the ice, but it's getting towards Petra. I'm kind of just get it deep or shoot on that. So it's not really worth it, but yeah.
I hear you.
It's always a great battle against those two guys.
I think it was going to go to, if you guys had a message to deliver to your fans, whether it's in St. Louis, Chicago, or Nashville, or around the world, can you guys do that in Roman? If you can do it in another language as well, that'd be great. So,
fancy. Okay.
Where do you want to start here?
Go ahead, Johnny.
Message to the fans? Well, I guess I'd just say, first of all, we love our fans. We miss them. We miss seeing everybody at the United Center. Obviously, this is a crazy time and a tough time for everybody. I think the biggest thing that we can learn probably is no matter what your background, what your political views are, I think we all kind of are coming together on this, and that's just the biggest thing. I think you guys all know what it takes to have a winning hockey team. You have to have everybody come together, and I think that's the biggest message right now is coming together with your family, your friends, your community, and you know, wait this thing out. We got to do what we got to do, and we'll get through it.
Jonathan, if you wouldn't mind, sorry, I'm back. If you wouldn't mind, maybe in French a little.
Oh. Ben, un message à tous les fans de hockey à Chicago puis tout le monde. Évidemment, c'est pas le fun d'être pas en train de jouer, pas dans la saison, puis c'est un temps difficile pour tout le monde. Alors, si on a beaucoup d'espoir, beaucoup d'amour, beaucoup de support à nos communautés, nos amis, nos familles. Puis c'est un moment difficile, mais on va passer ça ensemble.
Thanks, Jonathan. Alex?
Pretty good. You know, same thing that he said. We obviously miss being down there. I think all of us miss playing in front of the fans, competing. But you know, being home with kids and you know, being around my wife's family, grandma and grandpa, I think it's just important that we all do our part, because you know, it's, even if you're healthy, you don't really know, you know, if you're carrying it, and you got to protect the people around you and other people, you know, in the community. So the more we do our part now, the quicker all this goes away, and hopefully we all get back to, you know, getting the games and life going back to normal. So I think the important thing right now, as much as we want to play and as much as the fans want to come down, we got to make sure we stay healthy so we can kick this thing, because there's a lot of people affected out there. But again, like Johnny said too, I think it's impressive, regardless of you know, political views or opinions or whatever you want to call it. It's pretty impressive to see everybody come together. This is something that we've never seen before. So just got to make sure everybody sticks together.
Alex, Roman, I'll ask you to do double duty just like Jonathan, start in English, okay, and then surprise us.
Yeah, I mean, I can only agree with those two guys. We all got to come together, and I think, like I said before, this past 2 months have been very challenging for especially the city of Nashville with the tornadoes and now this. And when the tornadoes happened, you saw the city come together and help each other out and be a strong community. And I think it's the same thing now. It's a little different, obviously. You got to stay home. You got to do your part to stay healthy and make sure everybody else is healthy. And I think it's also important to thank all the people that are still working, that are keeping us safe, that are keeping us healthy. You guys are heroes. And we're so grateful for all those people. And like those two said, we miss hockey, we miss playing in front of the fans at Bridgestone, but it's more important to be safe and to be healthy right now, and hopefully we'll be back soon.
Well, Alex, Jonathan, Roman, I want to thank you for taking the time today, for being three pros who showed how unimportant it was to have a host on this call, and for telling the people important things that we need to hear. It's great to have you. Next time we see you, we want you to be in skates and in your jerseys and going at it. Thanks again. Have a good afternoon.
That's fine. Thanks, guys.
See you, boys.
See ya.
There you go. Good stuff. That was three captains right there. Roman Josi, Alex Pietrangelo, and Jonathan Toews on a conference call here today with the media. So we wanted to play you some of that. We'll come back and discuss some things you heard to close out Tuesday's edition of Darren Donnick and Chase. But first, Willie, you've got a word about the good folks at the Lee Company.
All right. Sounds good, Darren. Lee Company, 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com. And yes, home maintenance and business maintenance. I know a lot of you are working from home, so right now you might be noticing on a daily basis some of the things that might need some upkeep at your home. So keep that in mind. When you get in touch with Lee Company, they can do those maintenance projects for you. How about the back fence or a door, some windows, your floors, ceiling tiles, something like that. All of those things Lee Company can help you with. 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com. And also, home renovation down the road. If you're planning ahead, remodeling a kitchen or a bathroom, you can also call upon Lee Company for those services. So a wide range of things. They're a huge sponsor of the Nashville Predators, and they want you to know that. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Yep. Interesting. I don't know if you guys, but the one thing out of that, it was all good, but the quarantine question, who would you want to be quarantined with? Who would you not? And the fact that they answered both was pretty impressive.
I love it.
I did not think they would answer that. In fact, I had a buddy of mine text me and says, how would you answer that quarantine question with Willie and Chase?
I said, how would you answer that?
I said I sent him a GIF back. And I'll show you guys the GIF that I sent him.
The GIF GIF.
It was a good question. There was some. I enjoyed that conversation. I don't know, but
yeah,
you guys
it was cool.
A lot of different, you know, some questions that were a little lighter and some, you know, that were a little more on the serious side. I thought all three of those guys, and that's why they're leaders, right? That's why they're the captains of their teams. They all handle themselves with a lot of class.
Yeah, for sure. So I thought that was really cool. I'm glad the NHL is doing that. You mentioned Shea Weber earlier that he, you know, he did one of these. And so, look, it's that's what's affecting everyone. I mean, it's not just, you know, us or you, you know, you listening. I mean, it's these players, too, that we're all having to do that, you know, stay in and try and flatten the curve. And so I think it helps us to hear from these guys and hear what they have to say and their thoughts on it and have a little fun in the process.
Yep. I just sent you guys what I sent him. Just having a little fun with it. Pretty memorable movie around the holidays. What did you think of Bonino as a thumbs up because he can cook and he's smart and he likes to read books? And, of course, Ryan Johansson. I'm not going to speak for you guys, but that probably should not surprise anybody.
No.
That he said Ryan Johansson is probably a no-go. He said the house would be really, really messy. But he did give him props for Brussels sprouts. I didn't know
he
that
did.
Was a sweet spot for Johansson.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. And I like Brussels sprouts. That's something that I discovered a few years ago because I always thought they were nasty, but –
Then yeah,
I
me
try
too.
That
might be
Brussels.
The biggest comeback food going is,
really?
Is the properly made Brussels sprouts. Growing up, I couldn't stand it, but the way that some people have learned how to make them with the flavors, I'm all over them now.
Hmm. Okay.
You can do. I mean, they're different. You can bake them in the oven. You can saute them. I mean, there are different ways boil them. There are different ways you can prepare them. But I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
Guys, have you seen the surge in the voting? The voter turnout during our show, I'm very proud of how many people have voted.
Okay, well, let's do that to kind of on the way out the door. By the way, if you haven't heard, CMA Fest has been canceled for this year. We've passed that along a couple times, but if you're just tuning in and you've not heard that, did want to pass that along. So let's get everybody caught up to speed on the voting. By the way, you've got until 9 o'clock tonight, so just over 7 more hours to vote for the Jeff Fisher region. And so you're going to have, what was that, eight people advance to the second round after 9 o'clock, once we get to 9 o'clock tonight. So let's get everybody caught up on where it stands right now.
Well, and I have actually texted with a former Pred that's trying to help his buddy Thomas Vokoun out. So that surge hopefully will come for Vokoun. Steve McNair, 94%. Ian Clark, 6%. We just mentioned this one. Taylor Lewan, 65%. Thomas Vokoun, 35% in the 8-9 matchup. The 4-13, P.K. Subban still leading the way, 65% to 35% over V.Y. Javon Kirst, the Freak, 79%. Jay Cutler, 21%. Now, this is what's interesting. This has been close all show long. And now, all of a sudden, Derek Barnett's starting to pull away.
Ooh.
63% to Shane Foster's 37%. So, that one has gotten in, interesting as Barnett pulls away. Keith Bullock, 94%. Ingle Martin, 6%. And then R.A. Dickey, 44%. Ryan Tannehill leading that, 56%. And the captain that you just heard from, Roman Yossi, 94%. Chantel Anderson, 6%.
Okay.
The Lewan Vokoun has got the highest voter turnout, so both with their campaign managers have definitely gotten the voter, which I love to see. So keep it going. I mean, this is not going to go the way I voted, for sure. I'm not going to go 8-0 in my bracket here, my predictions or my votes, but that's the fun of this thing, right? We've even heard from some fans that are like, what about this guy? What about this guy? That's why aren't they in the field? That's what makes these things kind of fun to debate. So keep voting and encourage others to do the same.
And tomorrow we will unveil the Tim Corbin region. That's the one you'll get to, well, not unveil it for you to vote. We've already unveiled it, but you get to vote tomorrow in the Tim Corbin region. You have a great rest of your day. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And once again, thank you to everybody out there listening that is in the medical profession, the medical field. Our thoughts are with you as you're having long days and probably seeing some stuff that none of us want to see. Thank you for your hard work. We'll come back on Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.